Listening Library presents Maniac McGee by Jerry Spinelli, read for you by S.C. Patha Merkerson. Before the story, they say Maniac McGee was born in a dump. They say his stomach was a cereal box and his heart a sofa spring. They say he kept an 8-inch cockroach on a leash and that rats stood guard over him while he slept. They say if you knew he was coming and you sprinkled salt on the ground and he ran over it, within 2 or 3 blocks he would be as slow as everybody else. They say. What's true, what's myth, it's hard to know. Finsterwald's gone now, yet even today, you'll never find a kid sitting on the steps where he once lived. The Little League field is still there, and the band shell. Cobble's Corner still stands at the corner of Hector and Birch, and if you ask the man behind the counter, he'll take the clump of string out of a drawer and let you see it. Grade school girls in 2 Mills still jump rope and chant, "Maniac, maniac, he's so cool. Maniac, maniac, don't go to school. Runs all night, runs all right. Maniac, maniac, kissed a bull." And sometimes the girl holding one end of the rope is from the west side of Hector, and the girl on the other end is from the east side. And if you're looking for Maniac McGee's legacy or monument, that's as good as any, even if it wasn't really a bull. But that's okay, because the history of a kid is 1 part fact, 2 parts legend, and 3 parts snowball. And if you want to know what it was like back when Maniac McGee roamed these parts, well, just run your hand under your movie seat and be very, very careful not to let the facts get mixed up with the truth. Part 1. 1. Maniac McGee was not born in a dump. He was born in a house, a pretty ordinary house, right across the river from here in Bridgeport. And he had regular parents, a mother and a father. But not for long. One day his parents left him with a sitter and took the P&W high-speed trolley into the city. On the way back home, they were on board when the P&W had its famous crash, when the motorman was drunk and took the high trestle over the Schuylkill River at 60 miles an hour, and the whole caboodle took a swan dive into the water. And just like that, Maniac was an orphan. He was 3 years old. Of course, to be accurate, he wasn't really Maniac then. He was Jeffrey Lionel McGee. Little Jeffrey was shipped off to his nearest relatives, Aunt Dot and Uncle Dan. They lived in Hollidaysburg in the western part of Pennsylvania. Aunt Dot and Uncle Dan hated each other, but because they were strict Catholics, they wouldn't get a divorce. Around the time Jeffrey arrived, they stopped talking to each other. Then they stopped sharing. Pretty soon, there were 2 of everything in the house. 2 bathrooms, 2 TVs, 2 refrigerators, 2 toasters. If it were possible, they would have had 2 Jeffreys. As it was, they split them up as best they could. For instance, he would eat dinner with Aunt Dot on Monday, with Uncle Dan on Tuesday, and so on. 8 years of that. Then came the night of the spring musicale at Jeffrey's school. He was in the chorus. There was only 1 show and 1 auditorium, so Aunt Dot and Uncle Dan were forced to share at least that much. Aunt Dot sat on one side, Uncle Dan on the other. Jeffrey probably started screaming from the start of the song, which was "Talk to the Animals," but nobody knew it because he was drowned out by all the other voices. Then the music ended, and Jeffrey went right on screaming, his face bright red by now, his neck bulging. the music director faced the singers frozen with his arms still raised. In the audience, faces began to change. There was a quick smatter of giggling by some people who figured the screaming kid was some part of the show, some funny animal maybe. Then the giggling stopped, and eyes started to shift and heads started to turn because now everybody could see that this wasn't part of the show at all. That little Jeffrey McGee wasn't supposed to be up there on the risers, pointing to his aunt and uncle, bellowing from the midst of the chorus, "Talk! Talk, will you? Talk! Talk! Talk!" No one knew it then, but it was the birth scream of a legend. And that's when the running started. Three springy steps down from the risers. Girls in pastel dresses screaming, the music director lunging, a leap from the stage, out the side door, and into the starry, sweet, onion grass-smelling night. Never again to return to the house of two toasters. Never again to return to school. 2. Everybody knows that Maniac McGee, then Jeffrey, started out in Hollidaysburg and wound up in Two Mills. The question is, what took him so long? And what did he do along the way? Sure, 200 miles is a long way, especially on foot, but the year that it took him to cover it was about 51 weeks more than he needed, figuring the way he could run, even then. The legend doesn't have the answer. That's why this period is known as the lost year. And another question. Why did he stay here? Why Two Mills? Of course, there's the obvious answer, that sitting right across the Schuylkill is Bridgeport, where he was born. Yet there are other theories. Some say he just got tired of running. Some say it was the butterscotch crimpets. And some say he only intended to pause here, but that he stayed because he was so happy to make a friend. If you listen to everybody who claims to have seen Jeffrey Maniac McGee that first day, there must have been 10,000 people and a parade of fire trucks waiting for him at the town limits. Don't believe it. A couple of people truly remember, and here's what they saw. A scraggly little kid jogging toward them, the soles of both sneakers hanging by their hinges and flopping open like dog tongues each time they came up from the pavement. But it was something they heard that made him stick in their minds all these years. As he passed them, he said, "Hi." Just that. "Hi." And he was gone. They stopped. They blinked. They turned. They stared after him. They wondered, "Do I know that kid?" Because people just didn't say that to strangers out of the blue. 3. As for the first person to actually stop and talk with Maniac, that would be Amanda Beale. And it happened because of a mistake. It was around 8 in the morning, and Amanda was heading for grade school like hundreds of other kids all over town. What made Amanda different was that she was carrying a suitcase, and that's what caught Maniac's eye. He figured she was like him, running away, so he stopped and said, "Hi." Amanda was suspicious. Who is this white stranger kid, and what was he doing in the East End where almost all the kids were black, and why was he saying that? But Amanda Beale was also friendly, so she stopped and said, "Hi," back. "Are you running away?" Jeffrey asked her. "Huh?" said Amanda. Jeffrey pointed to the suitcase. Amanda frowned, then thought, then laughed. She laughed so hard she began to lose her balance, so she set the suitcase down and sat on it so she could laugh more safely. When at last she could speak, she said, "I'm not running away, I'm going to school." She saw the puzzlement on his face. She got off the suitcase and opened it up right there.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?